Welcome back to the second hour of this Monday's 9 till noon show. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. Good morning to Winifred, Dahi, Kathy and Audrey. They're watching the show on a mixture of our Facebook and YouTube pages. Just to remind you, you can watch us wherever you are, including on your big telly at home, Smart TV, Fire Stick, on the YouTube channel Highland Radio Ireland. We're on Facebook, Highland Hub, and where else? X at, I can't remember what it's called, but anyway, search Highland Radio. There's not many others called Highland Radio streaming live. Right, a caller says, I think it's disgraceful that cars are lowered and spec'd out. How are engines allowed to be modified? Until this changes, there'll be more deaths on our roads. I mean, there is... That can be a contributing factor, but it's not the silver bullet, so to speak. Honestly, I think the only time there'll be no deaths on the road is when driving's automatized, to be honest with you. Greg, the car I drive is not new, but when you come to a slower speed limit, the car makes a beep noise to warn me to slow down. I'm going too fast. So the technology is there to make the car itself slow down. No one wants this to happen. It's all about money, collection, a tax if you want. But if they surveyed people, right, if they surveyed the population, let's say we had a referendum, and the referendum was, should all cars be limited to 100 kilometres per hour, maximum speed? Should all brake horsepower be limited to 115? The majority of people would vote against it. Even in the context of a conversation about safe driving, would the majority, well, I'm guessing, but would the majority not vote against it? We recognise the problem, but we don't want to change our behaviour and we don't want our cars fiddled with. I mean, really? Really, why is every 17 to 25-year-old not in a car that has a black box for monitoring driving behaviour that's linked to their insurance? Why not? You know, the insurance would be much cheaper. And for that period of time, driving behaviour would change. I mean, it should be a non-brainer. I am not saying that that's the only age category responsible, but they are incredibly overrepresented. So it's great to have your vehicle. You'd have your independence. You can go meet your girlfriend. You know, you can go to the cinema. You can go to work. You just have to do so within the speed limit. That would be the only proviso. You have to do it within the speed limit. That's what a black box would make sure you do. Because if you didn't, you'd get a text or an email from your insurance company in advising you you went over the speed limit. So should that be a non-brainer? I mean, I'm saying that now as someone it wouldn't affect. So it's easy for me to say that. But what do we do? Do we just accept it and keep talking about it? Or do we start discussing things that might actually have some sort of a meaningful impact? It means, you know, a fella driving home from a girl driving home from a pub at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock as the designated driver and three or four people land in the car, they'd be far less likely to speed around a corner that would result in a multi-occupancy fatal crash. You know, I mean, should we not be saying, right, we need to get on this straight away? I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying in reality, there are solutions, but we would resist them. Good morning. Just wondering how many of the people caught were caught outside the town limits where the collisions are happening. They say, and you know, I'm not doing the GoSafe's work, they say the vans are only located where there's been a serious or fatal collision. On the matter of road safety, says another caller, did anyone see the carry-on on Friday night in Manor Cunningham around 11 p.m? Two sides of the road lined with cars, spectators and cars diffing in the middle of that busy road, so dangerous. That is an every weekend thing now. Send us the videos if you have them. I'm sure they're there. This is seems like a spontaneous diffing competition in Manor Cunningham. They seem to have also taken over the road. Let us know. Put it down to parts of the grid having to be turned off. This is the power outages. Put it down to parts of the grid having to be turned off when industrial wind turbines have to be turned off due to high winds, but the ESB will never admit to that. Maybe that's in the unknown category. We do know the reasons for the majority of the outages. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. On road safety, I travel the A5 4 days a week. The drivers are the issue, not the road, especially drivers from Donegal. Some of the sights you see are ridiculous. Morning, Highland. I had an early NCT test, and while I was waiting, names were called out but didn't turn up for their tests. Yep. I've been one of those soldiers. I think I was due in there on May 12th. But for reasons outside of my control, I couldn't get the car there. And 80 quid came out of my account for reasons I know. So I didn't turn up, but I paid for the test. And the way the system they have it now, that you log as you go in, so they bring tests forward, so it doesn't inconvenience anyone, unless you tried to book a test and, of course, there's no spaces available because someone like me couldn't go. But it was there's a financial penalty, and it was for good reason. New 60-kilometre speed limits on the clay side of Newtown Cunningham. Nobody paying any heed to it. Well, that's it too, you see. But it will change the driving behaviour of some. MEP Cynthia is correct. The last 2 years have seen power outages become very regular. No reason, no bad weather, just out of the blue and at any time of the day. No explanation. And the costs just keep going up and up and up. Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? The price of the service is going up and the quality of the service is going down. Hi, Greg. Would a park and ride facility at each entry point to Letterkenny work? Have a shuttle bus service into the centre, the ATU, the hospital, and have bike rental schemes available at park and ride facilities. This could help to reduce traffic going into town. Possibly, yeah. It definitely would be part of the solution, and I would say actually really it's part of the plan. The problem is you are kind of forced to go through Letterkenny, even if you don't need to go to Letterkenny. Letterkenny is great to visit. But, you know, if you're going to the Fannad Peninsula, or if you're going to Dunloe or Burton Port, or, you know, depending on where you're coming from, Glenties, you have to go through Letterkenny. I mean, you don't have to. You could take a longer route, head south of the county, right? But the problem is the traffic that has to go through Letterkenny that doesn't want to be there, I think. But also, anything that makes traffic move more freely, like your suggestion, would be very good. We were talking about holiday homes last week, it's not that I'm trying to drag this into a second week, but so many of you took the time to text. I want to give you a sample of those. Just to recap, a Mayo County Council official initially sent out an internal email calling for a boycott of holiday home owners. Turn your backs on them, effectively. Refuse to engage. Mayo County Council said that's not the view of the council. And then the conversation raged around the country. This caller says, I live in Buncrana. Besides me, there are three houses lying derelict for over 30 years in St. Egney's Terrace. We've been on to the council about compulsory purchase. Apparently the deeds can't be found. How would this stop the purchase? Something should be done about this. Another caller says, private property is private property. Just listening to Micheál Colum, who didn't agree necessarily with the proposals, but would be a communist, a self-declared communist, I believe that's the phraseology, who believes, that, you know, wealth or property could be distributed for the benefit of the state. But anyway, the caller says everything he said is ridiculous and can be blamed on government policy. Imagine they actually planned a referendum on housing to delimit the right to private property. Micheál would be jumping with glee. There was people before Profit floated that. The government shut it down. But for some reason, in certain sections of social media, they attribute that to the government. It wasn't the government. It was people before Profit wanted that. Micheál is delusional. He's living in the past, certainly not the West Donegal of today. What's his views on the books making millions from my past centres? Is the councillor suggesting compulsory purchasing? Gerry Adams's house or Stephen Rea? Or Carrie Bradshaw. What nonsense. Let him blame government for the housing crisis, not holidaymakers. He's jealous. I don't think he's jealous because he talked of selling property of his own on which a holiday home was built. Micheál has a point, but we have to look at the planning. It's planning that is to blame. In my town, a local girl was refused planning for a house to live in. She sold the site out of frustration and moved to America. Wait till you hear this. A contractor came in and built three holiday homes on it with no issue with planning. The county, this county, it makes no sense. Last one before the break. In relation to the holiday homes, landlords hesitate to rent to families long-term or even the short-term. The reason for this is that if a tenant stopped paying rent, it's a long road in order to evict the tenant or to get the rent. I appreciate that both the landlord and tenants have rights, which is only right. However, more landlords express the difficulty in getting tenants out of their property when they either want to sell or a family member to move in. So I can definitely relate to why students and holiday homes appeal to landlords, guaranteed payment, and they all move on. Perhaps if there was more protection for the landlords, the rental market would not be experiencing the current shortages. But also this Mayo official, it's not just landlords who are doing Airbnb in holiday areas. It's actually people living in the holiday homes for a couple of weeks a year or however long they live in them. So it's not just landlords. It was anyone with a holiday home. You're right. I think that's why a lot of people have gone into short letting, not just here. Spain's got a big problem with short letting. Portugal and other sort of areas where tourists go. It's handier. Some would say it's not handier. But if you're in the right place, it's, and if you're organised, it's handier. It's bigger books for shorter periods of time. And you don't have the issue of people making a mess at your home and trying to get them out and struggling to do so. It's a complex old space. The bottom line is you need more social housing and you need more affordable housing. And if you have that, but the problem is we have infrastructural issues. But if you have that, the demand then is eased, you know, and then people can do whatever they want with their houses, I think. Now, we are joined on the programme by Dr. Helmy. Good morning to you, Doctor. Thank you very much for your time today.
Good morning.
Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry says 31 people have died in an Israeli attack on a school-turned-shelter. Israel's army, or Israel's military, claims a Hamas command centre was embedded within the building. It also insists it took steps to mitigate risk to civilians. This is just the latest deaths that are being reported from Gaza, but there's almost deaths by a thousand cuts ongoing, as we see images of malnourished children, children hunkering as bombs explode near them. And whilst we are somewhat exposed to what's happening, Dr. Helmy, do you think we truly get a sense of what life is like in Gaza for the innocents over there?
Okay, first of all, I would like to say thank you to Irish people, thank you to all Ireland. Even before the what happened in Gaza, I find the Irish people here are so friendly people and so nice and accepting the other. And after the genocide started by those Israeli against the Palestinian in Gaza, I show high solidarity and support from the Irish people. So first of all, we should give the definition of everything. Those Israeli people are not, this is not their land, and they are not civilians. They are occupiers. They occupy by the international law. The occupier is not a civilian. And by the international law, you have the right to defend your land and your home and your people by all the means. You should do everything for defense of your home and your land. So before Gandhi was a terrorist named by the British, before Mandela, they call him as a terrorist. Before they always do this with all the good people who try to resist the occupation.
So, Dr. Helmy, just to be clear, who are you equating with? Who are you equating there with Mandela? Is it Hamas that you're saying, or people of Palestine, or who's the?
I would like to say a statement that the media is running by people try to give false names to the resistance. The one who is trying to resist the occupation, they always call him a terrorist.
But is it, just to be clear, Dr. Helmy, and then we'll move on, are you saying that Hamas are the modern-day Mandela?
I will tell you another example. Did you think that De Gaulle, he is the one who, when the Nazi destroyed Paris, they said De Gaulle is the one who destroyed Paris or the Nazi. Mm-hmm. When the Nazi destroyed London, they said the English resistance is the cause for destroying London, or they said the Nazi is the one who destroyed London. It's the same. When you try to defend yourself, why you will be a terrorist? You try to protect your people. And they always start their narrative from 7th of October. Why they not started from 1st of October? 1st of October, the people were starving as well. Mm-hmm. Why they keep talking about 7th of October? 1st of October, kids was starving. There was no food as well.
So do you believe... Nobody asked it? Yes. Yeah. So, Doctor, do you believe that, you know, well, of course, we tend to start history when it suits us most. I take your point thoroughly in relation to that. But just to be clear, do you believe that Hamas was justified in their actions on October 7th in the wider defense of Gaza?
Okay, I will tell you again. The question shouldn't be like this. If you have a stick and there is fish in a small bowl, and you started to beat this fish and annoy them, and beating them much and much, and then small fish jump and beat you in your finger to defend itself. Oh, you will jump. This fish is a terrorist. The thing is, should be in right way. The occupation is a crime. Why nobody point to those occupiers that are, they are a criminal war? War criminals. They are criminals. They weaponize the starvation. They weaponize the starvation, which is against international law. Mm-hmm. What Hamas is do is exactly what the international law asked anybody to do. You show you have the right to defend your people. If you are not supporting, nobody supports the Palestinian. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives them anything. You want to from the Palestinian to be the well-behaved victim, bombed day and night and killed day and night over the 75 years and not do any action. Mm-hmm. This is unlogic, really. This is unlogic.
Mm-hmm. I think most people listening, I think, and I could be very wrong, Doctor, most people listening would agree with everything that you've said in terms of the oppression of the Palestinian people and what has gone on. I think many of those, though, might struggle with your sort of rationale or understanding of what happened on October 7th, because it was so particularly horrific. So I would say most people listening, just to be honest with you, will agree with what is happening to the people of Palestine. It's an absolute disgrace, but would struggle for the justification of Hamas's actions in Israel on October 7th. Now, I don't want to debate that with you, because I'm just stating that. That's what I believe to be the case. I could be wrong. But let's get to the here and now and where we find ourselves. Israel are emboldened. They obviously feel they have the support of the international community. And we find ourselves in a situation where Netanyahu is saying the quiet bits out loud now. Israel is going to take over all of Gaza and supply minimal food.
He wants to occupy the land. He wants to kill the people and occupy the land. And if you want to know what happened in 1948, see Gaza now. This is how they take Palestine. They are how they take it. It was not their land. They only come by support of the British and by the tanks and by air against a civilian people. Those civilian people hosted them and give them homes and food and blankets, because they come to Palestine as refugees from the World War I and World War II. They come as a refugee. People hosted them, give them food, give them clothes, give them land to live as they are refugee. And this is how they reward the Palestinian for their good behavior with them. They killed them. And they make massacre from 1948. They live from massacre to massacre, from war to war, from blood to blood. This is what they are doing there. And now they are talking clearly. We will take all Gaza. We are the Palestinian, go out. For they are declaring genocide. They are want to kill the, they kill the kids. They concentrate to kill the future. They don't want kids. They don't want any Palestinian anymore. Did you imagine somebody kill the kids? This is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. What has effectively happened as well is the population have been herded into Rafah, which is a tiny space, 65 square kilometers effectively, with a population of 2 odd million.
To put the people in small area and give them more than 2 million exhausted, starved, sick, unwell. They will give them very, very tiny amount of food. Those people need at least 600 food rack daily. They give by day 10 only. And they will give only 3 center of food distribution. They enjoy. Did you imagine what will happen to 2 million? Go for 3 center of of taking little food, and this food only flour and no vegetables, no meat, just the flour, the minimum to give you the calories. Mm. This is against humanity. No. They enjoying torturing the Palestinian and killing them by all the means. This is what they are doing.
It seems, though, that the rest of the world is prepared to stand by and watch this happening, Doctor. I could see this
in America, in Europe, everywhere. But the politicians and the power are deceiving their people. For the last 75 years, they give the Palestinian only promises and nice words. But nothing happened from this over 75 years. I can't believe those politicians one day, in any word they said, because we have this for over the 75 years.
Yes, but what I was going to say is the United States continues to support Israel. We heard from the UK and the French leaders, strongly worded statements, but still weapons and business continues to be...
If you could just let me finish
the question, Doctor, I'd really appreciate it. The point I'm trying to make here is that words have been spoken calling on Israel to stop, but for the most part, really, they've been giving a green light to do what they want to do. What if the international community is not moved by the death and destruction of the innocent people of Gaza? What do you think might change? How can this genocide be stopped? In real terms, what do you believe could happen or might happen to stop this genocide?
As a person, I don't know, but I told you my impression. For the last 25 years, they give the Palestinian just promises, and they woke up, find the land and weapons and money in the hand of the Israeli, and they find themselves a refugee. This is what happened. I can't believe those politicians in any word they said. And what is there? If you see, we believe in God. The faith, what makes those Palestinians stand and stick to their land? Because they have strong faith. You can't defeat this faith. This is what we have. We have only the God. Mm-hmm. All the people in the earth failed the Palestinian. Nobody helps them. They only go for God. They ask help from him. If they think they could defeat the God, nobody can defeat the God. And I know well, and I can tell you, those Zionists inside the Palestinians, they know well this is their end. They know well better than us, and that this is their end. And they go for their end. They will fail. They will fail against the Palestinians.
How can the Palestinians resist this? That's the point. You know, faith, I'm not questioning anyone's faith, but faith in and of itself cannot destroy, you know, tanks and aeroplanes and missiles and rockets. Yes, how can Palestine defeat this Israeli government?
Actually, the Palestinians are in all this condition, and they give them all the money to leave, and they give them, they tortured them to give information about the resistance or about the tunnels or about the leader of the resistance, the Palestinian, because they believe in their resistance, believe that those are the only people who defend and fight for them, so they stand with their people who resist for their right. And those people are now do what they can do. They take the non-explosive bomb and they make it again as a weapon to fight for this invasion to their land. Mm. And regarding faith, I know faith can't defeat the tanks or the airplanes, but without faith you can't live as well. And me as a person, I don't know much. I don't know, but I believe in this is the end of the Israeli. And I believe in those good people who defend their land, who support their people. I believe in them.
How long can this go on for, though? At what point, given the level of starvation and destruction, do Hamas wave the white flag, and sort of say, right, as us as the resistance here, we aren't going to necessarily achieve our goals, and I'm not that would hand the victory. I understand that, but there must come a point where, on balance, one has to wave the white flag.
I got you. Actually, what makes the Palestinians still there in Gaza is that Hamas did until now raise the white flag. If Hamas, they asked Hamas to give their weapons and to give map for the tunnels. The next day they give their weapons, they will kill them all, plus the Palestinians. The only thing that may stop Israel is the weapon in the hand of Hamas and the continued resistance. When the Hamas stop the resistance and stop defending their people, this will be the end of Palestinian and the end of Gaza. And Hamas knows this well. So they fight for people and for their rights. And that's why still the American and the EU give the fund and support and weapon and bomb to Israel, because Israel failed. Israel till now failed to make any victory, failed to stand on the land.
Okay.
And if they stop this support 1 week, I could tell you they will be defeated. They stop this 1 week only. They will not stay 1 week alone. They can't.
Okay, Dr. Halmi, listen, thank you very much for your wider views there. If you have any view on that, please let us know, 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 0749125000. And don't forget, of course, you can email comments@highlandradio.com. Some sample of views, polarised to some extent. A caller says Hamas are a terrorist group. They slaughter women and children, which, if you've seen the video from October 7th, is demonstrably true. But another caller says, I agree with everything that doctor is saying. Keep your views coming in on that. A caller says the A5 is no different to any other road in Donegal. It's not a bad road. The issue is speed. It is, though. It is a bad road. Let's see. There's a couple here on different stuff that I'll get back to in a mo. Still, a lot of you still actually vexed on the holiday home story. I think that the council should buy land and it will be used officially for drifting. The Gardaí, the RSA and the motor club should be involved. This will help all the diffing that goes on the roads, especially during rally weekend. Why do bicycles and electric bikes have no insurance? Well, they just traditionally don't. Walkers and cyclists have to walk out on the roads due to hedges being overgrown. It's not safe. Hedges aren't going to be cut until the end of August. That is a big issue. And it's great if you can see them. But if you can't see them, and we do have, obviously, a significant number of people who are visually impaired or have sight loss, and those overgrown hedges are a real problem for them. Imagine getting some of those thorns into your eyes. And also, too, maybe people pushing buggies as well. You know, it's easy enough to step out onto the road, albeit dangerous. But if you're pushing a buggy, it becomes far more complicated. Right, let's talk to Aideen Urell, who's campaign director with the Irish Council Against Blood Sports. Aideen, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me on, Greg. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about this issue of the barbarism of fox hunting.
So how prevalent is fox hunting in this country? Like, is it in a certain amount of sort of Middle Ireland counties, or is it in every county? I mean, how extensive is fox hunting?
Well, there are about 100 registered, what they call affiliated hunts. And there's one in Donegal, the Donegal Harriers. They're just spread all over the country. And do remember that fox hunting is outlawed in England, Scotland, Wales. And this is 20 years ago. And there's a bill pending in Northern Ireland, and we hope that will be passed. And Deputy Ruth Carpenter is bringing a bill. She's introducing her bill to ban fox hunting in Dáil Éireann next Tuesday, and we'll be having a rally at 1 o'clock beforehand to support that. you know, to mark that event.
So when you talk of fox hunting, I believe they can, in Britain, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, whereby you trail or you provide a scent. So in other words, you get the sport of fox hunting, but there is no fox in peril, or you're not chasing a real fox. Is your organisation against that as well? Or is that a compromise?
Having seen the experience in Britain, unfortunately, trail hunting can lead on to actual fox hunting, and this is going on. It's a kind of a loophole for them to go on a trail, and then if they come across a fox, to hunt the fox. Unfortunately, trail hunting, the experience in Britain does show that it's not effective. Unfortunately,
but here you can chase. You can chase the. Of course, they're looking to ban trail hunting. Here you can chase a fox till it's exhausted, and then it's left to the hounds. Then at that point, okay.
They take a large pack of hounds, anything up to 60 hounds, out into the countryside and pursue a fox, followed by people on horseback. And this is all for sport and entertainment, and pursue. What's really a little, it's a canine, it's a little brown dog, for hours on end. Hours, we can do that, and they think that's great fun. It's the epitome of bullying. It's the bully in the schoolyard. It's appalling, and I can't understand the mentality of people who engage in that pursuit.
Do you think getting campaigns over the line is more difficult now, given the fact that, you know, people are witnessing what's happening around the world? We're more exposed to it than we would have been 20 years ago when these topics were being discussed. Do you think it's more difficult to get, I suppose, you know, animal rights-based stuff over the line now, you know, to get traction for a campaign, with everything else that's going on, affecting humans?
Yeah, I understand that, Greg. And I mean, I, like everybody else, is very affected from what I'm very affected by what I'm hearing from Gaza and Ukraine and other parts of the world where there's terrible cruelty going on to humans. It's just appalling. We've been campaigning against hare coursing and fox hunting going back to the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just have to keep going with this. And there's no excuse for them not to ban it. They can't just say it's not the right time. There's no such thing as not the right time.
And it's kind of interesting, Aideen, because if the truth be told, very few people participate in fox hunting when you look at it in terms of the population. But the majority of the population, almost 8 out of 10 of the population, oppose it. So it does make you wonder what sort of the strength of the fox hunting lobby is, because there's not many other examples where so few people want to partake in an activity that so many oppose. So there must be a powerful group.
Well, 77% of Irish citizens want to see fox hunting banned, and also the same want to see hare coursing banned. And you wonder why it's not. Why, when you get to the doors at the gate of Dáil-Éireann, you come up against this resistance. And it is the fault of the politicians. They're the ones, and mainly the main parties, who are turning a blind eye. Mm-hmm. They don't want to ban anything here. They don't want to offend anyone.
I think it's probably maybe seen as attack on rural life, and it's not really good for sort of rural backbench TDs to speak about, because the sort of, you know, whilst the amount of fox hunters might be few, they do primarily reside within the rural communities, and I think that's always been a factor. It's the same with the funding of horse racing and greyhound racing. They're seen as rural activities, I believe.
Looking at that 70% and analysed across urban and rural, it's much the same for urban and rural. Rural people want to see it banned just as much as urban.
Okay.
So it's not the generality of rural people who think fox hunting is okay or should go on.
All right, okay. Well, as you say, Ruth Coppinger, she is introducing her animal health and welfare bill on Tuesday, and to coincide with that, a ban fox hunting protest is taking place outside Dunleren tomorrow at 1 p.m. Okay, thanks, Aideen. Very well articulated.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Now, whether people agree or disagree, she's made a point very well. As I say, I don't think very many people fox hunt when you look at it as the wider population, but the majority of us seemingly don't want it to happen. Have you a view on that? 086 60 25,000. More comments coming in on holiday homes. Ridiculous suggestion to boycott holiday homemakers, most who are Irish, which is true, particularly here in Donegal. Boycott the gombean men and their politicians' friends who are making millions out of IPAS. The IPAS system is a better idea, as the money should be used to house our own. The one thing. I'd be a bit nervous about that comparison is that IPAS people are living in, people in IPAS centres living in grouped accommodation. It's crappy accommodation that would not be suitable, like hotel living long term. Many of our homeless need additional supports, right? There is issues of addiction present or other socioeconomic issues. It's not just there's a house, go and live in it, what have you. And I think, to be honest with you, here's a bit of a curveball. I think if 200 homeless people were taken from the streets of Dublin and put into a hotel in Letterkenny, I think we'd start to see people being expressing disquiet about that. I think that is the truth, because the homelessness problem requires, in a great deal of cases, additional services, supports, and supported living as well. It's not just saying there's a house. That being said, that doesn't mean the IPAS centre people like that. It's just the IPAS solution is not the solution to our housing crisis. I think it has to be said. And there's some interesting statistics on IPAS, the amount of people that are coming in, the makeup of them. I'll bring them to you if you want. Some people would frame it that I'm being pro or anti one way or other, okay? But I do have access to the figures in terms of how many people in IPAS are in Donegal, nationally, how many coming in, what countries are they coming in, how many are single males versus single women versus families and children. Those figures are there. I suppose everyone can interpret them the way they want. But, you know, we've about 30,000 people seeking protection in this country at the moment. Most of them are living in like hotels or grouped accommodation. And the new arrivals, about half of them are single males. Not single males, the males travelling on their own. I don't know if you thought that figure might be higher or lower. But anyway, about half of them are single males. The rest are made up of women, families, women and children. A caller says, I honestly think it's the government people should boycott. It's their fault and their fault only that we are in this situation. What is wrong with the people of this country and our representatives that are in government or in the government in any way, like Sinn Féin and all other political parties? This is who needs to be boycotted, says the listener. Okay, a caller says, I took my son who was learning difficulties to the toilet after half time at the match on Saturday. I went to 5 of the Portaloos and not one had toilet roll left. Thank God a kind woman realised my predicament and gave me some tissues. We paid €80 to take our family to the game. I don't mind paying. I don't even expect the toilets to be spotless. But having someone in charge of ensuring there is toilet roll is so important for human dignity. The GEA need to get the basics right, okay? That's one person's experience. It wasn't full-time either. You know, it was at half-time, so you would expect there to be toilet paper in the loos, wouldn't you? Greg, give a big shout-out to all those involved in Relay for Life. Apart from the weather, it was another fantastic 2 days. I watched online and Daniel brought it to a close. Thanks again. That comes in from Kathleen Grant. Yes, indeed. And lots of people attend at different times. So there's kind of the crowd ebbs and flows a little bit, but hopefully lots and lots of money was raised. And as well as it too, I know it's an important event for some people for their own personal reasons. And I hope they got the, and I'm sure they did got the lift or the comfort from that. A caller says, the comments against holiday home owners is absolutely ridiculous. As someone who doesn't have a second home and as bad as the housing crisis is, Private property is private property. Who do these people think they are, compelling people to sell or rent out their own property? It was a government policy to invite vulture funds. They were invited in by that government policy to not build houses. Not the people who made decisions to spend their money. Communist China or North Korea has no show. Effectively saying similar, I think. I've really struggled to contain my views that, you know, I know people that have worked blooming hard and they're not even rich, but they did happen to acquire a second property or what have you, and they don't trust banks, they don't have any reserves, and that really is sort of what they hope will sustain them in their later years. And the idea that that could be taken from them to fix a problem that could be fixed other ways by the state, I struggle not to sort of speak out in relation to that. All right, news headlines on the way at 11, and then another busy hour to come on the 9 till noon show.